in very simple terms, James is dealing with the subject of lying. Now, has anyone here ever told a lie? Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Now, let me help you understand what it means to tell a lie by giving Webster's Dictionary definition of lying. In Webster's Dictionary, it says that to lie is to make an untrue statement with the intent to deceive. Man, that's pretty troubling, isn't it? I can just look at myself and I can see that. That's pretty troubling. But Webster's does not stop with that definition. It goes on and says it also means to create a false or misleading impression. I'm shocked. I'm a history. I mean, not only is it saying something that's untrue, but it is even maybe saying something that's true, but saying it in a way that misleads people. I give in. I give up. It's me. I mean, been there, done that. They didn't even give me a t-shirt for it, but I've done it. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm not the only one in this room that's ever done that. In fact, in this room, there are probably people that have both spoken untruths and also spoken to deceive someone, even in telling the truth. There are probably people who are in here that have done that fairly regularly. It is possible that there may be someone or several someones in here that not only have done that fairly regularly, but that may be your mode of operation in life. I have run across people in my life that if they said it's black, you better be sure it is white. I mean, it's white because they're not going to tell you the truth about anything. And you've probably run across a few people like that. So this morning, as James begins to deal with this subject of lying, understand that it is a subject that every one of us deals with. So whether you're a Christian and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and your manner of walk is to walk with Him in obedience to Him, and you find yourself every once in a while in that situation where you're lying, and you want to understand how to better deal with those circumstances and to walk more closely with, James has it for you. Or if you're here this morning and you say, my manner of living is really a lie. I proclaim to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the truth be known, the way I live my life, the way I act, it's a lie. I am no more a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ than a man on the moon. This morning, James has something to say to us. A number of years ago, in fact, about 10 years ago, Reader's Digest did a survey of their readers and listened to some of the responses they got. They asked their readers about being honest, about lying about things, and here are some of the responses. 17% of their readers said they have cheated on their tax returns. I would say that it's probably even higher than that. But that is a form of lying. 18% said that they had misstated the facts on their resume or on a job application. Another use of lying. 28% said they had lied to their spouse about a relationship with another individual. 28%. 32% said they had lied to their spouse about the cost of an item they had purchased. Hey, guys, don't get a pious look on your face. I mean, she may go out and buy a $200 purse, but she doesn't come home with a $10,000 bass boat. Okay? Is that not true? The difference between men and women is the cost of their toys. Is that true? Okay. I know, guys, I'm not making any points with you, I know. 50% of them said they had been undercharged for an item and did not return the overage or the amount that they received back. 71% said they had lied to a family member or a friend about their appearance. Do I look good? Oh, yeah, you look great. And all the time you're shaking your head. Okay. Lying is very serious. We may laugh at some of these statistics, but lying is very serious. And so let's plunge in and look very quickly at what James has to say about this. There are some preliminary things we need to nail down about lying as we go through this. So if you have your study guide and want to follow along, common reasons that people lie. Letter A, for financial gain. If I can make a buck out of it, I'll lie. That car you have for sale, is everything running? Oh, yeah, everything's just perfect. Other than the transmission's about to fall out. And, you know, yeah. So people will lie on their taxes. They will lie to gain financially. Letter B, to protect their reputation of image. Anybody ever on a job site have somebody lie about something because they made a mistake but they won't own up to it? Absolutely. Number three, or letter C, to avoid confrontation. Husband asks the wife, anything wrong? No, there's nothing wrong. Is that a lie? Well, absolutely. Yeah, there's plenty wrong. And we should address it. But instead, I'm going to shut down communication. I'm not going to address it. To avoid confrontation. Fear. I'm afraid of the consequences, therefore I lie to get out of the consequences. Does that work usually? No. People lie because it seems to be the easy way out. Just easier to make up something and hopefully nobody will find out about it. Letter F, people lie to please people. If I can just make you happy, if I know what I think you want to hear, I'm going to tell you that so it makes you happy. Letter G, we lie for convenience. Boss, I'm sick today. Yeah, I don't think I'll be able to come in. Let's go to the lake. Oh, that doesn't happen? Maybe it's even happened to someone in here. Maybe it's even happened that you've written a little note to your little Johnny's teacher. Johnny's sick today, can't come in. Really, we're going to Six Flags. A number of reasons people lie, but notice the statement on your study guide, lying is primarily a selfish endeavor. Self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about making me feel good. It's all about making me financially prosperous. It's about me prospering in the way I feel about myself. Number two, people lie to themselves, others, and to God. What makes this so bad is we don't just lie to others. We will lie to ourselves and also lie to God. That's really not that bad. Oh, especially when there's some biblical instruction involved and the Bible says this is how you deal with this, this is how you handle this, and we will say, I really don't want to do that, and it'll be okay. God won't hold me accountable for that. You just lied to God, and you just lied to yourself about it. So, understand, lying is a serious thing because we don't just stop at lying to others. We lie to ourselves and to God. Number three, James' teaching on integrity / oaths, because he uses that phrase in talking about oaths. James' teaching on integrity and oaths is directly corresponds to Jesus' teaching on the same. So unless you're, in case you're sitting there saying, oh, this is just some obscure passage that James is dealing with and has no bearing on the rest of the Bible, think again, because Jesus had the same thing to say about oaths in Matthew chapter 5 on his Sermon on the Mount that James has to say in this passage of Scripture. So understand that. So it's not some obscure passage that's being twisted to say something that it's not intended. Number five, oaths were originally intended to demonstrate a commitment to keep a promise. So when James talks about oaths, he's talking about something that was originally given to demonstrate that you were serious about the promise you were making. Now, this is back before the time of contracts. I mean, they didn't have the little lawyer there. Let me write this out. You sign on the bottom, you sign on the bottom, and everything will be okay. No, I take an oath. I mean, by the God of heaven, I will do such and such. And so an oath was given. So now, with that said, let's really plunge into James chapter 5, verse 12. Number one, James sees the integrity of the believer as an issue of prime importance. This is not a secondary issue. This is not an issue that I can kind of go down the buffet of the instructions of God's word and say, I don't know that I like integrity. It's not really for me. You know, it kind of leaves that bitter taste in my mouth like broccoli or something. I just really don't like it. It is of prime importance. In fact, verse 12, listen to how he starts that verse. But above all. James is saying, of prime importance is what I'm about to tell you. James is saying the integrity of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is of prime importance. Why is it of prime importance? Because it impacts everything we do. It impacts our witness for the Lord. These people could not be a good witness to the God that they said they served because of their integrity or lack thereof. And so James takes it very seriously here. It is also of prime importance because of a simple statement that Jesus made, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you have a problem, a consistent problem with embellishing the truth, not telling the truth, what does it tell us? It tells us there's a heart problem. It's just like a doctor can, you can go to the doctor and he begins to see your symptoms and what's going on. He said, that's not the problem. The problem's the heart. There's something wrong going on in your heart. And that's what James is saying here. You say you know Christ as Savior, but I'm detecting that there's a heart problem here. It's of prime importance that you understand integrity is vital to a believer. Number two, the taking of an oath should be serious business for the believer. Now, he immediately, he says, in this basically a prime importance, above all, brethren, talking to those who claim the name of Christ. Not all of them know Christ, but all of them are claiming the name of Christ. Above all, do not swear. Now, he's not talking about what we would call cursing. He's not talking about using what we call swear words. That's not in this passage of Scripture. That's not what he's talking about. He is talking about making an oath, a pledge, a promise, a vow. Do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Now, why does he say that? The Jews had taken something that began in the Old Testament, which was exactly what God had designed, and that is basically that it is all right to take an oath and say, I am going to take seriously the promise I made and take this oath and do that. what the Jews had done over time is they had said, how can we do that and still be dishonest? Now, they'd never come out and tell you that, but that's exactly what they do. So they had devised a system such as this. Well, are you going to live up to your promise to buy this piece of land? I promise by Jerusalem that I'm going to buy that land. Oh, they weren't bound by that oath. Now, if he had turned and faced Jerusalem and said, I am bound by Jerusalem, he would have been bound by that oath. See how subtle they had changed things to make it to where they could make any kind of oath sound like it was a serious. I swear by the gold of the temple. I swear by the altar. I swear by the sacrifice on the altar. Jesus addresses this. Let me give you Matthew chapter 23, verse 16. Woe to you, you blind guides. He's talking to the Pharisees here. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold of the temple or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the offering, that is he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? They had devised such an intricate plan to deceive and lied to people. So when James is dealing with this passage talking about oaths, he's talking to a group of people that well versed in how to get around a promise. You did it as a kid, didn't you? Yeah. I promise I will never come back in here and mess up your tea party. 10 minutes later, boom, 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 boom. Oh, I forgot I had my fingers crossed. Yeah, yeah. You didn't see that, did you? You didn't notice I had my fingers crossed. See, we are constantly devising methods whereby we can get out of our promises. James says it is a serious business when a Christian makes a promise. And so what he does in this verse says, don't do that. Don't do these things that are designed to deceive. So look at letter A. Promises were being made that they had no intention of keeping. And they were people that were developing that art to the highest degree. Oh, you've done it before. I need you to come by and do so. Well, I'll try to come by. And all the while your intention is, I'm not going. Not going at all. I don't want to do that. But we say, I'll try. Or we use deceptive terms to try to describe a promise, and we had no intention of keeping. Letter B, God expects Christians to keep their promises. As simple as that. It's as simple as that. When you make a vow, keep what you vow. The scripture is very plain on it. Okay, now let's make this very serious. Churches should have, and in the past always have had, a church covenant. You know what a church covenant is? It's simply a promise that when you join with that fellowship, I promise to do these things. I promise to support this fellowship. I promise to abstain from these things and so that I can represent the name of Christ well and the name of this local fellowship well. That's fallen by the wayside, hasn't it? And those promises have fallen by the wayside, have they not? How many hundreds of people are on this church roll that do not keep those covenant commitments to this day? It's not just this church. Please understand. You go to any church in this county just about it, and it's the same. Now, does that justify it? We don't take seriously the promises we make. Letter C, avoid making hasty promises. You remember the Old Testament character Jephthah goes out against the Ammonites and prays to the Lord, please deliver, deliver, deliver from the Ammonites. And he says, if you'll deliver from the Ammonites, the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll offer to you. Guess what the first thing that came out of his house when he came back home? His beautiful only daughter. He made a hasty promise, not realizing what it would cost him. Be careful making promises you do not intend to keep. Letter D, this prohibition has some limits. And by that, I mean this does not negate the idea of making promises. What he is dealing with is a very specific issue among the Jewish people whereby they were using oaths to get around telling the truth. So, when you march down the aisle at a wedding and you make a vow to God in the presence of people, there's nothing wrong with doing that. There's nothing wrong when you march into a courtroom and they place a Bible out before you and you place your hand on it and say, I promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with it if you put your hand on that Bible and you promise that and then you lie. In the presence of God, there's something wrong with that. Very quickly, number three, do not live in such a way that taking an oath is necessary to demonstrate your integrity. In other words, you remember, there used to be a time you didn't have to take an oath, did you? I mean, you'd come up and say, you know, you're going to sell me that land? It's a deal. You didn't have to take an oath. You didn't have to swear by heaven or swear by this or swear by that or get a lawyer involved and he had to write out the contract. No. I mean, when you made a deal, it was your word was your bond. That's the way a Christian should live. In such a way that the guy said, we don't even need a lawyer involved in this. You said it, I believe it. And it's going to happen because you live up to your word. You're on the job. You royally mess up. I don't know if you get a deadline, misplaced paperwork, whatever. Instead of playing innocent and letting somebody else take the fall for it, I did it. I made a mistake, and I did the wrong thing. I'm sorry for it. If it costs me my job, it costs me my job, but my integrity is worth more than my job. My integrity is worth more. That's what James is getting at. Number four, a lack of integrity bears grave consequences for the believer. Look at the last part of verse 12. So that you may not fall under judgment. Now, there's two aspects to that because he's writing to two groups of people. He's writing to Christians who indeed their walk and talk match and on occasion may lie or may color the truth in a way that favors them, which is lying. By the way, I mean, we try to make it a different category, but still lying. There is chastisement. There are consequences for those actions. But the primary group he's writing to are those whose walk and talk do not match. He says, what you are doing with your oaths just bears evidence that you do not know the Lord and you are in danger of basically the fiery judgment because you do not know him. You claim to know him, but your life screams to the top of its lungs, I do not know him. So, where does that leave us today? Very quickly, how can we increase our integrity? First of all, consider. Don't make a promise you cannot keep. Somebody calls you to make a promise on something, and it's a promise you cannot keep. Say, I'm sorry, I just can't make a promise on that. I can't do it. I'll try, I'll intend to do that, but I can't make a promise on this because I'm not sure I'll be able to deliver. Number two, commit. Keep the promises you make, even if it costs you something to keep the promise. Keep the promise that you make. Three, confess. Admit when you failed. Admit it. What I have found is most bosses, most businesses, when an employee will have the integrity to say, I messed up, they deal well with that. What they don't deal well with is with the employee that tries to cover up and hide and shift blame to somebody else. Then number four, capitulate. Surrender to Christ. Surrender to him. And this is what I mean by that. Even the believer that messes up needs to admit the fact, I mess up. Lord, help me to live a life of integrity and not mess up the same way again. That's what the Lord demands of us. Now, here's the question. Are you living the life of a believer and occasionally mess up? Or are you living the life of an unbeliever who is filled with every kind of sinful action, every kind of thing? In this case, what he's dealing with is lying, but it can be any other number of things. And your life does not match what you claim in any way, shape, or form. If that's you, you need to simply commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what James is talking about.